It knew me. It climbed my back faster than anyone could block it, and draped itself around my shoulders like a sensei's long scarf, just as it used to do around Apollo. Crap! Haley, stupid cat, get it off them! Haley! Come here, kitty! Good kitty! Haley rooted its many, many claws into my clothes and released a hiss which would have made an anaconda proud. You stupid cat! The attackers froze around me, bats and fists slack like wilted branches. What are you doing? Mycroft Canner killed your master. You were there, don't you remember? Something killed the music now, and memory released me enough to see, if not to run. Hands seized me from behind, not violent, but controlling, gloved in an electric tingling which leached the strength from my muscles as laughter does. Numbing gloves. I was steered backwards like a puppet and already safely bundled in a blanket before my invisible captors threw back their hoods of griffin cloth to reveal the glares on their visors. Violence is forbidden! The foremost of them stepped forward between me and Tully's warriors and let his coat switch from invisibility mode to his utopia, a storm-black sky where lightning cities appeared and disappeared fast as the pouring rain. Disperse! Fucking utopians! Why are you protecting Mycroft Canner? It was one of the audience that shouted it, not the guards, for they instead stood in silent disbelief. I recognized them now by their betrayed faces, European shirts and English strap bands. I recognized them as those pub regulars who had adopted Apollo back in Liverpool. I'm sorry. You did deserve revenge. The rest of the mob was not so shocked. Astro turds! They've been hiding Mycroft Canner all this time! Deceivers! Flying stones and rubbish joined the words. Disperse! The lead utopian summoned a dragon now, black but lined with lightning, which spread its wings over the lot of us and glared down at the mob with compound eyes, each formed of a dozen blood-red laser sights, which locked on clubs and fists. A second dragon joined it, whiskered, Asian-style, long like a ribbon and glowing with rainbow flame. It slid in around us like a wall, purring with the force of 50 lions and dusting the mob with warm mist from the hundreds of tiny jets which helped it float. In truth, the two must have been there the whole time, invisible in their griffin-cloth scales. But in the heat of almost battle, no one cared how the dragons functioned. There were dragons. The mob backed off. A moat of dead space opened between them and the U-beasts, and the preacher himself stepped to the fore. Mycroft Canner. Tully had another utopian stalking behind him, though whether to protect him or restrain him I could not guess. Why did you come here? Haley left me, and ran back to Tully, content, I imagine, now that I was in trusted hands. It was an accident, I answered. I didn't know you were here. Tully let the pillar cat circle his legs. Its touch pulled his pants taut so I could see the contours of braces around his joints, unused to Earth's harsh gravity. Give me Apollo's Iliad. It isn't yours, I answered. A utopian car descended over us, and my captor saviors gave me no chance to resist as they bundled me inside. Give it to me, Tully shouted after us. I'm the one who's going to finish it. Finish everything. Everything we started. The utopian behind him, wrapped in a coat of pale, slow-motion birds, placed a restraining hand on Tully's shoulder. Stop this, Tully. Canner's right. The book's not yours. Now calm the mob. He who had spent 13 expensive years in the protection of Luna City could not disobey his benefactors. But he left me a last glare, defiant arrogance which promised to do all in his power to destroy me. Everyone, I heard him begin. The Utopians haven't been hiding Mycroft Canner. They've been hiding me from Mycroft Canner. And what they did here, they did to protect you, to keep you from becoming what Mycroft Canner wanted you to become. Killers. That was all I was allowed to hear, for the car's door closed and sealed me in its capsule as it spirited me to whatever haven the Utopians had chosen. We'll hush it up, if possible. One of them was with me in the car. Hard to spot, since their hooded coat, I cannot guess the sex, made nothing of the car seat but a car seat. There weren't too many witnesses. You're helping Tully do this? I asked. You can't help Tully do this. Apollo asked us to take care of Tully. My hands shook. I saw Kohakumardi's numbers in the censor's office perfectly, as if someone engineered this Black Sakura affair to follow the Mardi's plan. Please tell me that wasn't you. Their answer was sweet as rescue to a drowning man. We neither help nor hinder. Only ward. Even so, what Tully's doing isn't just warning people, they're riling them up, making it worse. They could start the avalanche and really make it happen. Millions could die. I heard the rustle of a U-beast, but could not see where in the car it lurked. Don't talk like other people, Kanner. I shook my head. That's not what I mean. You can't let people associate Utopia with Tully's message. Tully's a maniac. They'll make it seem like you're encouraging a war. The other six hives will all ally against you. The worst combination. It won't go like Tully thinks. The Mardi's predictions were wrong. Kohaku's numbers have already happened. We're at the crisis point. Past it. But it doesn't matter anymore. You know about Jehovah. War can't break out between the Masons and the Mitsubishi while Caesar and Ando are both fathers of the same son. But if you let Tully keep pushing for it like this, if you let yourselves be seen protecting Tully, then everyone will think you're warmongers too. I don't know if even Caesar can protect you then. We will not let ourselves be seen. Exhaustion took me. I know when not to argue with Utopia. They knew my thoughts, my arguments, better than my shock-shattered breath could make them. We rode in silence, but I used that silence, offering a voiceless prayer to any god who might be listening. Please, let my Saladin strike in time. Chapter the 29th. Julia, I found God.
Dominic, where have you been? You're wet and stinky.
Far less stinky now that I'm wet. I hosed myself off at an hydrant just for you.
Julia, I found God.
I wasn't aware they were missing. Julia Doria Pamphili's voice had traces of concern and almost humor, but all drowned in a pleasurable croon at Dominic's arrival. Did their parents know?
Not the true God. I mean, this universe's God, the idiot who created disease and entropy and decided to imprison sentience within these lumps of dirt.
He thumped his chest.
I found him.
I could hear them through the wall and see a sliver of the room if I pressed my cheek to the crack between door and doorframe. But the makeshift prison of Julia's office closet offered me no further liberty as I sat locked within. My sensei's harsh prescription when the Utopians delivered me into her custody. After such a shock as seeing Tully after 13 years, I was to take 2 hours to rest and think, do nothing and serve no one. And if she had to confiscate my tracker and lock me in her closet to enforce that, so be it.
Did you ask God if there's an afterlife?
Julia asked at once.
Perhaps no one on Earth was as prepared as the Conclave head for this eventuality.
We aren't on speaking terms yet. Dominic stood close to her by the sound of it, close enough that his rich French resonated with the weight of their bodies pressed against each other. Of course they spoke French together, gentle reader. She is European, and he civilized.
We haven't actually spoken face to face, but I found his avatar, his manifestation on this earth, pathetic little thing.
Fear made my pacemaker offer a gentle warning bleep. Can I see the Avatar too? Julia asked at once. Dominic laughed, and Julia released a little gasp, the herald of others coming. It was too soon for either to have removed their clothes, but not for Dominic's expert fingers to have navigated Julia's slacks and found the entrance to her pleasure.
Not yet, he answered, zeal turning his voice into a hiss. Not until I'm done.
You're so mean, Dominic, teasing me like this.
I'll make it up to you. Here. I smuggled out some leftovers. Another of Chagatai's masterpieces.
I heard the rustle of a package.
That hardly makes up for it.
Oh, that's not how I'm going to make up for it. I heard the hiss of fabric shifting over skin.
You've a lot to make up for, Dominic, being gone so long, making everybody worry. I'm sure you've made Jehovah worry, too.
I have. I know I have.
The two of them were close outside the door, and I heard the source of Dominic's voice move lower, as if he sat or sank to his knees.
I've caused him pain.
Then we'd better get started.
Bless me, Mother, for I have sinned. It's been 8 days since my last confession.
A wet slurp came between each phrase, eliciting light gasps from Julia, each sharper than the last as her breath grew fast and shallow.
And in this week, I've strayed farther than ever from the path of God.
Yes. Julia's voice lost nothing of its strength as it grew heated.
What have you done?
I've abandoned him. Cut him off from me. Sight, sound, word. I left him blind. He has so few senses. In this universe, imagine how it must hurt him, losing touch with one of his own.
Yes, she cried, perhaps more loudly than she intended. You've been cruel.
Sometimes I can't stand it, thinking how it must hurt him. I heard fierce motion now, Dominic leaping to his feet perhaps, or pulling Julia down to him, or turning her around to take her from the other side.
Can you imagine, Julia, to hurt him so much, to make him think about me and wish for me and need me and be powerless? Desperate, Julia. I've made omnipotent Jehovah desperate. His voice rejoiced. Do you think he trembled, Julia? Do you think he cried?
The conclave head had barely breath enough to answer as his rhythm shook her body.
I can't imagine that.
I can. Dominic panted too, the panting of anticipation, like hounds before they're loosed upon the fleeing fox. But you're right. That's not enough to make him weep. Not nearly enough. One straying angel won't make God tremble, but I've done more. I've kept secrets from him too this week, secrets I know he wants to hear. He's been searching so long for some hint, some message from another god, and now I've found one and I haven't told him.
His zeal made her cry out, a little yelp with every thrust, half-breathed since he gave her no time to fill her lungs.
Now he's still suffering, still wondering if he's the only creature of his kind, afraid except it's because of me now. I'm doing it to him. I'm the one keeping him alone in the dark, and I'm the one with the power to end it. Will you?
Not yet.
Dominic snarled the words. It's not enough. Just traces of another god won't do it. I need more. I need to know the nature of this stupid god. Access, answers, something horrible. Yes, I need to find out enough about this god to make Jehovah sick, to make him hate this god and this god's universe, too much to forgive. Yes, it won't be hard. There are already so many things about this universe Jehovah can't forgive. He's trapped here, and once I prove this universe is ruled by a horrible and callous being, he'll lose all hope of ever being able to fix it like his own.
Yes, callous, yes, oh God.
Then he'll break down, omniscient, omnipotent Jehovah, forced to admit he can never bring those powers here.
What heat, ah, fuck!
He'll break down, and he'll tremble, and he'll cry and come to me, and then I'll take him in my arms and comfort him and make him mine.
Ah, oh God, damn it, oh God, fuck!
Scream, scream, you holy little slut.
Ah, yes, fuck, oh God, Christ, yes.
Enough, Mycroft. Some absurdities I can tolerate, but not this.
Make up thy mind. Dost thou write pornography or not? If this is not pornography, then skip this vacuous and offensive filth. If it is, then at least fulfill thy dirty duty properly. Give me some life, some heaving breasts, some color.